This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Hi, this is Paul Gleiser, president and owner of KTBB and KRWR, the Team Sports Radio. Ken Paxton is the Attorney General of the state of Texas. Having been elected to the office for the first time in November 2014, he's the second longest serving Attorney General in Texas history, behind his immediate predecessor, Greg Abbott, who left the office to become governor. Paxton's time in office as Texas Attorney General has been turbulent. Just 7 months after he first took office, he was indicted by a state grand jury on 3 felony counts involving securities fraud. That case was finally settled nearly 9 years later by an agreement between Paxton and the special prosecutor. Under the agreement, Paxton agreed to pay $300,000 in restitution and do 200 hours of community service while not being required to admit to any wrongdoing. Over much of the same period, Paxton was defending a civil enforcement action brought by the Securities and Exchange Commission having to do with alleged violations of the Securities Act of 1933. That case was eventually dismissed by a U.S. Federal District Court judge. Much of Ken Paxton's time as Texas Attorney General has been spent prosecuting lawsuits against the Obama and Biden administrations over issues ranging from Obamacare to environmental policy to school bathrooms. While prosecuting lawsuits against the federal government, he has also defended lawsuits filed by the federal government against the state of Texas. In this interview, recorded in KTBB's studios, Ken Paxton discusses a number of topics, starting with the role of the Attorney General and ending with a rather ominous warning about election integrity. Here on In Focus is my interview with Attorney General Ken Paxton. Attorney General Ken Paxton of Texas, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, so glad to be here in Tyler.
Well, listen, I want to start off this interview for people that just, you know, may not be completely clear. What is the job of the Attorney General?
That is a great question. I think most people don't know what the Attorney General is. My job is to represent the state of Texas agencies, all the agencies, the governor, the legislature, in any litigation, whether we're filing plaintiffs or we're on defense, and then we help out with contracts and negotiating deals. We help TxDOT with eminent domain. We do all kinds of whatever the state, and it's interesting because most lawyers have a choice over who their clients are. Attorney General is given the clients by statute or by the Constitution. So I don't choose my clients, whether I agree with them or not. I don't choose my clients. And often there are times we don't agree with the client in the direction, but we are not the decision maker on the direction of their policies.
What role do you play in the ordinary daily lives of Texans?
So, I mean, we have all kinds of interactions with Texans. Child support's a big one. We have 1.6 million cases that we deal with. So that's probably the area that we're most involved with Texans, dealing with making sure that child support payments are being made, which obviously helps the state because it keeps people off of state assistance, but also helps the custodial parent who's having to deal with the cost. But, you know, we have 38,000 cases. We're dealing with all kinds of issues that affect Texans, whether they're national issues, whether we're suing the Biden administration, whether we're suing, you know, Google and dealing with how they deal with their constituents in our state and potentially not treating those customers in a way that they should and causing them to have to pay more for services they shouldn't have to pay for, or whether it's our lawsuit against Pfizer. Those types of lawsuits affect the lives of daily Texans because there are issues that are in our lives. The vaccine, that affected our lives for several years, right? So that's a lawsuit that we're doing right now that hopefully will disclose to the world and to our public what was actually going on.
30 minutes before you showed up, I got this email. It has a Chase Bank logo on it. And it says, you've received an ACH payment. The following ACH payment has been received on your Chase account, waiting your approval. Transaction amount, $12,024.02. All they need for me to do is to click on this button and provide a lot of personal information. Clear scam. I saw, you know, if you're a little bit sophisticated, you know it's a scam, but a lot of people don't.
Yeah. So we deal with consumer fraud we typically, obviously we have limited resources too, but those are the types of issues, if we're told about them, then we start investigating examples of consumer fraud. And if we can find a way to go after it, then we have civil authority. We don't have any criminal authority, which is unfortunate. The legislature should give us some criminal authority so that we can actually prosecute in the places like Austin and Dallas and Houston and San Antonio, that they will not prosecute this type of crime. So we can use civil remedies, but we have no ability right now, because the legislature's not giving it to us, to go after it criminally, which is what we should be able to do.
Let me shift gears. Your office, illegal immigration, what role does it play?
So we're not, I don't have a lot of police officers with guns or with any ability to go do. We do help a little bit on the border because we have about 200 officers. But our main role is legal. And so I have lawyers. And so we've sued the Biden administration over numerous issues. We've sued them over not using the funds that they were directed to use by Congress to build the wall. We've sued them over cutting down our fences, which is insane that they have Border Patrol cut the fence so more people can get across. But that's actually the goal, right? We've sued them over allowing criminals into our country. It's shocking that they would want criminals in the country, but they do. We are suing them, trying to stop them from at least keep the criminals out, and they want those criminals here. And so all these countries are unloading their prisons, and the Biden administration says, yeah, we want them. We are suing them over the buoys that we put up to prevent people from swimming across and drowning. The Biden administration is fighting us on that. We have sued over the 30,000 people a month that they're flying in here that we are paying for, that they are sending to all the states that they want people, illegals, voting in. So the list goes on. We have sued over, we sued him on day three of his administration when he said, I'm not deporting anybody anymore. Obviously, he said that to let the cartels know, get people here as fast as you can, and we will help you get them here. You don't have to hide anymore. So that's what we do in my office.
You're filing these suits. Is anything coming of them? Are we getting any relief?
Yes, we get some, but then they just change their tactics. And so it's a constant. We get some relief. Sometimes we don't get relief. The
federal, what's the court of original jurisdiction for those suits?
Those are federal courts. So
District Court?
Yeah, federal district court. So we file in Texas. We can file anywhere in Texas that we choose, because these are federal issues, and so we have to file in federal court, and we just pick a court to file in.
Okay.
And then typically goes to the Fifth Circuit. We've done well at the Fifth Circuit. Sometimes Supreme Court, they have not been as generous on some of these decisions. It's been sometimes a close call, a 5-4 call, where we've lost cases we shouldn't have. We also have had cases where we've won 6-3. So it just has depended on which case as to how we've done at the U.S. Supreme Court. But, you know, it just takes time to get these cases up there often, many times.
Yeah, because the legal process moves at a glacial pace. You know, it's kind of like you have to fill out a lot of paperwork to get the fire department to come put out the fire at your
yes.
house. So things move very slowly while problems continue to build. You know, one of the subjects of the a lot of the problem attended to illegal immigration circles around human trafficking. Your office's role in that?
So we have a whole unit that is available to prosecute human trafficking. The problem we have is, again, the legislature has not given us original jurisdiction. So these local DAs, many of them funded by George Soros, who they view their job is to not prosecute any of this. And so human trafficking goes unprosecuted. There's very little trafficking that gets prosecuted in this state. And what I would like the legislature to do is to give us the authority to have original jurisdiction or concurrent jurisdiction, so that if it's not being prosecuted, if the DAs choose not to prosecute it, we could step in. And we've tried to do this in the past. Dade Phelan, the speaker, killed it in the Texas House a few years ago when we were trying to get it passed. So I would love for the legislature to give me the ability. We have the resources. I have the best team that probably has ever been put together to deal with human trafficking. We just can't get the referrals from these DAs because they don't want us to prosecute these people.
How big a problem is it?
It's become a massive problem. As we've allowed the cartels to build their network into the state, I say we, Joe Biden, they're making billions of dollars on human trafficking every year, billions. And so they are building this network and they're getting more sophisticated. And yes, it's a growing problem, and it's being created by the invitation of the White House to the cartels. Just bring them, we'll take them. And then it becomes a problem that the cartels take advantage of by using their dollars to build a bigger network into our country.
Give me an example of a lawsuit against the Biden administration that you've won and one that you've not.
Let me see. We're trying to think about this is in terms of one. So a lot of these lawsuits are still in progress. So we just got an injunction on, like, for instance, the Title IX issues, where the Biden administration just made up these rules that allow men to compete in women's sports, that allow men to come into women's bathrooms and locker rooms. So we've got an injunction right now. That's a process, though, that it'll get appealed. And then you have to have the trial and the merits. So a lot of these cases, we might get an injunction, we might not get an injunction. We have on some of our, like our concertina wire case, where they were cutting down our fence, we actually lost that injunction, but we're still in litigation. All this, the merits have actually not been tried. We lost it. So the federal government, even though we lost, they've never cut down a wire since. Even though they have the ability to walk in and cut our wire down and let people cross in, they haven't done it. Border Patrol has not cut our wire down. So we lost, but effectively we won because it hasn't happened since.
We talk about lawsuits. One that you famously filed dates back to just right after the election in 2020. You know, and I have opined at some length that it would be wise for the Trump campaign and everybody to quit litigating 2020 and what went on. But nevertheless, I think it was a pivotal moment. You filed a suit against, refresh me, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and
Wisconsin,
Michigan, those four states. What was the essence of that suit and what happened?
Very simple. Those states did not follow their own state laws. For instance, in Texas, we did. Now, all these local judges tried to send out mail-in ballots to everyone, which is illegal. They said, oh, for COVID, we can change the law. These judges are not supposed to change the law. We fought every one of those. There were 12 of them. It was really hard to win those lawsuits. Had we not, we would have been Georgia. We would have Trump would have lost Texas because they would have sent out 2.5 million ballots in Harris County. They would have sent out Austin. Travis County would have done that. San Antonio, Bexar County would have done that. We would have had 9 million ballots going out, having no idea who was getting them. They could have filled them out. Anyone could have filled them out, bring them back, figure out how many votes they need. So we fought that fight, won 12 lawsuits. Georgia and all these other states, even though they had Republican AGs like Arizona, they didn't stop it. And so a state like Georgia, which had the same margin of victory for Trump 4 years prior, suddenly they lose, and Trump loses in Georgia, even though he was way ahead, but he wins in Texas because we enforced our law. So my argument was, hey, the Constitution requires that these states follow their own election laws, and if they don't, then it has a dramatic impact on my state. It's not just like, oh, it affects Georgia. Well, no, that not following their laws, by the state laws that they had in place to protect against fraud, affected the election and affected my state. And so that was the lawsuit. I wasn't going there to try to prove fraud. I know it happened because I know exactly how they did it, because they were trying to do the same thing in Texas. And I actually told the president in May, they are going to steal this election with mail-in ballots, and here's how they're going to do it. And I know, because they're doing it in Texas, and if I don't win every one of these lawsuits in all of these liberal counties with all of these liberal judges and find some way to get it past these liberal courts of appeal, you're going to lose Texas, because they're going to stop. They're going to figure out how many votes they need, and then the mail-in ballots will just count as many as they need, and you're going to lose. And I said, the problem is, I guarantee you this is happening in other states. If they're doing this in Texas, this massive level, this is a nationwide scheme, but I can only deal with Texas. So I guarantee you, when I saw election night and I watched them Trump ahead in all those states that we just talked about, along with about four others, and they stopped counting ballots for the first time ever, I went to bed knowing it was over, that they would get enough votes, because I knew how they were going to do it, because I watched them try to do it in Texas.
So you filed in the Supreme Court.
Yes.
Because the Supreme Court is the court of original jurisdiction in disputes between the states constitutionally.
Correct.
Is that not correct?
No, that's correct. So
okay.
We had to file there.
So you filed in the Supreme Court. And what happened?
So the court said we didn't have standing. Now, we had two votes from two of the justices that we did. I don't know how we could not have standing. I mean, who can make that claim other than us? We had to make the claim, and I think they sidestepped it by using this concept of standing. It's an easy way for them to get out of actually ruling. And I don't think they should have done that. I think they had a responsibility to take our case and give us an answer as to whether these states violated the Constitution, because it clearly affected our voters. It clearly affected the nation. And in my opinion, the election was changed by the fact that all these mail-in ballots got counted, and there's no way to know who fill them out. There's no way to prove fraud, but we do know that the law wasn't followed, and it really opened up the door for massive fraud in this country like we've never seen before.
What was your goal in the suit? What would you have had happen if the court had taken the case?
So if they'd taken the case, I would like them to have ruled on that matter of law, which is, did they follow their laws? And if they didn't, then they need to have an election that is consistent with state law.
So you'd have to discard those electoral votes, and how would that work?
I have no idea. We're talking about uncharted territory when you have that many mail-in ballots that are that you cannot account for who voted. You have no idea. I mean, you have no idea. The millions and millions of mail-in ballots came in that we have no idea who voted. That's a problem. That's not a secure election. That's not following state law. That's not following federal law. All I was saying was I don't know what the remedy is, but I do know that that should not be a valid vote if they're not following the very laws that the Constitution says they have to.
Here we are nearly 4 years later. Where do we stand in Texas, and where do you think it stands around the rest of the country?
We're much worse off in Texas. First of all, the Court of Criminal Appeals struck down my ability to prosecute voter fraud, which was insane. They said because I'm in the executive branch, I don't have the authority to go to court. So if they're right, I shouldn't be in court on all these civil cases. We have 38,000 going right now. If they're right, no attorney general should ever be able to go to court anywhere. And the founders got it wrong and just didn't understand their own constitution. Fortunately, we unelected three members of the Court of Criminal Appeals, and we're going to ultimately change that. But the bigger issue for me, and that's a huge issue, that I still don't have the authority, we're going to get that authority back. I'm going to make sure that I'm going to push the legislature to reauthorize it, and we're going to get a Court of Criminal Appeals. We have four members now. We'll vote the right way, and we'll come back in 2 years, and we'll take out two more. But the problem that I'm worried about is there is a reason that Joe Biden on day one said, I'm not deporting anybody. Why would he announce that on day one? Day one. We had to sue him on day three. Got an injunction on day six. Fastest injunction probably ever against any president. It didn't stop him. He just kept maneuvering policies. Why did he want to put that out there? Why would you announce that? Because he wanted the cartels to know. You make about $10,000 a person. They knew the numbers. You get as many people here as possible, as fast as possible, and we will help you. You don't have to hide. You hid, right? You try to sneak across the border. No longer. We, the federal government, will aid and abet the cartels. If you will get them here, you can also do your trafficking of drugs because the border will be wide open, and you can make money that way. But you bring them to us. We will take them. We won't tell anybody in the states where we're putting them, and we will transport them around. We'll give them a phone. We'll give them resources to live here, and we will take care of them. Why would he have done that? He needs their vote. This is the next scheme, and that's exactly what this is about. I guarantee you they're getting Social Security numbers, which allows them to register, and only three states require proof of citizenship. We tried to pass it in Texas, and the Speaker, Dade Phelan, killed that bill. So we have no protection in Texas. If they register with their Social Security number and get a driver's license, we will not know if we have illegals voting. And I think that's the plan this time, along with, obviously, the mail-in ballot scheme that they did last time.
Georgia passed a law, Pennsylvania passed a law subsequent to the 2024 election. I don't know a lot about them, those laws. Do you?
No. My focus is in Texas. I can't affect it. I can't affect Pennsylvania, Georgia. I just hope that they've fixed the mail-in ballot scheme that occurred in their states, because clearly they did nothing to stop it last time. To allow, unlimited ballots go out with no signature verification, drop boxes that anybody can. I mean, it was not a secure election. There were definitely a lot of voter fraud.
Well, this wanders out of the area of the law and into politics, and so let's go there since we've kind of opened it up. In light of all that, how does your party, the Republican Party, how do you win?
It's a great question. I don't necessarily have the answer. I don't know how effective this scheme is going to be. I don't know how many illegals are going to vote. I just know they all have phones. They're all getting money. They're all getting resources. And I don't know if that means they have the courage to go actually register to vote. It's kind of uncharted territory. All I know is they were trying to get as many in here as possible. 10 million, 12 million. I mean, I've heard Trump say 20 million. I don't know how many are here. I don't think anybody knows how many are here. I do know that they want them to vote. And how many they get to vote, I don't know. But they're going to do everything they can, from the mail-in ballot thing to illegals voting. It's no accident that they wanted them here to try to win this election, because Joe Biden, with what he has done to this country for the last 4 years, you can name any area, it's been bad. It has not been to the benefit of Americans, whether it's inflation, whether it's the international scene, whether it's the border. There's nothing that he's done in favor of America. It's all been against us. He can't win this election. There's no way. It's not even going to be close. They have to cheat a lot. I don't know if they can cheat that much. We'll see.
Well, let me, you've given me a little education here about what your authority is as Attorney General. I don't guess I was really zeroed in on the fact that you have no criminal prosecution authority.
Well, go ahead.
Well, so the law in Texas, let's say I go vote in my precinct where I live. I go legally vote, but I'm really fervent. I want my guy to win. So I start going around and presenting myself falsely in other precincts and other jurisdictions, and I vote 7 or 8, 10 times. Who prosecutes me?
Now, nobody. You can do it. The local DAs could do it, but they don't prosecute voter fraud. So I was doing that. I had over 900 cases of voter fraud, and I'm specifically granted that authority from a 1951 statute. So the Court of Criminal Appeals had to strike down thousands of cases of precedent, thousands. Why would they do that? Republican court. I'm convinced George Soros got his people there because no one knew who was on that court. I traveled the state. I would ask people, do you know who's on the Court of Criminal Appeals? Can you name 9 members? I never had anybody name 9, 8, 7. The best I ever got was a guy that named 3 of them. Usually, if I was lucky, I could get one person in an audience of 500 to name one. That's what they did. They got these people elected, and then they got it at the right moment. 2 days after the filing deadline to run against the Court of Criminal Appeals, on an 8-1 vote, they struck down my ability to prosecute and all prosecute voter fraud. All those cases disappeared. They all got, and we were winning cases of voter fraud and stopping it. And the Court of Criminal Appeals, Republican, took it out. That's why we had to replace the Court of Criminal Appeals. We have one good member, Kevin Urie, and then we've added 3 more in January by winning these elections, which means we're still down 5-4, but we've got to win the next. There's 2 up that are not good. Next time, we've got to win those seats, or we will not control the voter fraud issue in this state.
Well, let me understand. I think what you just told me, let me confirm that. Let's say that I do that, and I just say it out loud. I tell all my friends, I voted 9 times. You mean nobody's going to prosecute me?
It's very unlikely that any DA is going to prosecute you. It's up to that. I can't do it right now. I'm supposedly, because of this court decision, not allowed to do it. So it's very unlikely, especially if you're in Travis County or Dallas County. You can say, look, I'm going to steal the election. We are going to steal the election. Here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to lay it out for you. Nothing could be done. It would, even if you had absolute proof, they showed you their game plan. Here's how we're stealing election. Here's who voted illegally 10 times. Here's the illegals that voted. Here's the mail-in ballots we cheated on. It'd be, I think, pretty unstoppable. They could just do it.
That's chilling.
That's chilling that the legislature has not addressed it. It's chilling that that's where we're at because of the Court of Criminal Appeals, because there's nobody that's going to go prosecute this statewide.
That's amazing. I mean, I did not know that. I've got a little education here today.
Very few people understand that. That's why these primaries, changing out the 3 members of the court, it's never happened that I don't think an incumbent statewide judge has lost in a primary in forever. And we recruited 3 people because they have 6-year terms. So 3 of them are up every 2 years. We recruited 3 people against 3 incumbents, and we overwhelmingly won those races, some of them by more than 20 points, against people that had been there minimum of 12 years, mostly 20 and 30 years, and we beat them. We had to beat them. And now we've got in January, we should have a 5-4 not majority. I'm hoping that the members that voted for this will rethink that, and we can get this fixed judicially without having to go through the legislature. But if they won't, we will have 2 more people running next time, and we will take that court back. We'll at least have a majority of, 6-3, and then we'll have 1 more election to clear out the House, clear out that court. But it takes, 6 years to do it, and a lot of time for me, a lot of fundraising for me, because nobody will fund these races unless I go help them, because nobody knows about the Court of Criminal Appeals and the impact that it has.
No, I don't guess I really fully appreciate it. I think the average, if you say you're a Republican voter, because you're a Republican AG, a Republican voter, you think, well, we're Texas. Look at us. We're a good, solid red state.
Absolutely. It was genius. When I saw what they did 2 days after the filing deadline, so nobody could run against these people that ran 2 years ago. So they've got 6-year term. They waited till 2 days after the filing deadline, and then they strike it down, and they... It was genius. I was thinking, and it occurred to me, how did this happen? This was no accident that they waited, that this court was set to do this. I am so convinced that George Soros, because we didn't even know who was on the court. Nobody knew. Nobody knew these people. I think George Soros funded it, and they waited for the right moment, the right time in history. And it's, look, it's been 2.5 years. I still don't have the authority to prosecute voter fraud. No one's doing it. And it was a genius move by somebody that realized how little money they'd have to spend to make this happen. And we've got to take it back.
Well, maybe you've just answered the question I'm going to ask you next. And that is, what is the most serious issue that your office is dealing with right now on behalf of the people of the state of Texas?
You hit it, election integrity, because all the other issues go away. I mean, if we can't protect our elections and the elections are not safe and secure, none of this other stuff matters. Once they get control, here's the goal. The goal is, and this is Obama and his plan, one-party country, where it looks like we have elections, but you don't have real elections in California or Oregon. Or when the polls closed out in Washington and those states, 7 o'clock, they knew Joe Biden won. They didn't have to count the votes. They already knew. It's the way their laws are with mail-in ballots, it's rigged. You can't beat them. And so they need a few more states where it's rigged, where you can't, you've got these mail-in ballots, you don't know who's voting. You have no election integrity, no secure elections. They get control, and then they control which people win and which they'll make it look like, you know, Venezuela, where it looks like you have an election, people were voting. But the reality is they're picking and choosing the winners, and they control the elections by how the laws are set up. And that's their goal. They want a one party country, and then it's an oligarchy of people like Obama and whoever running the country and deciding who's governor of this. Even the Republicans, they'd be deciding everybody that's going to win, because you couldn't win without them directing traffic. That's the plan.
That's a scary plan.
It is a real plan. My opinion, Obama's the first president we've ever had that hated this country. And he is plotting to change it so that we the people do not elect it. The smarter, more intelligent people like him get to decide how this country's run. That's how most countries are run. That's how he wants this country. And he views us as generally, we're clinging to our God and our guns. And he doesn't like those people, and he wants to eliminate them from any access to government.
Can it be stopped?
Absolutely. Look, I remember I've been watching this series on Apple TV called Benjamin Franklin. And you see Benjamin Franklin going ashore, rowing ashore. Oh, he wouldn't row. He had somebody rowing him.
When he's going into France?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
in the fog?
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So here he is. He's getting there as Washington just loses New York. He's only got a few thousand men yet left, and he's writing this letter saying it's pretty much over. Franklin can't even get to Paris. They don't want to talk to him. And he struggles to get any access to get France to help him help. I'm only on episode 3, so I haven't seen the whole thing, but I know how it turns out. There is no way they should win. They have nothing going for them. We have something still going for us, but the odds are against us. I think to keep our freedom, to keep the Constitution alive, to keep this oligarchy from coming and being, yeah, the odds are against us. But I believe, I'm still optimistic that there's the power of God. And if he wants us to survive, we will survive. And we have to keep pushing forward as if we are going to win this. And so I'm in the fight. I can be doing other things, but what does it matter if I leave, go make money, and they come in and decide, you know, they're just going to take it, which is what we're headed towards. They're going to control everything. So I believe in this country. I believe that we still have an opportunity to save it. And I think Texas is the most important state in the country. And we are like the founders right now. We are going to decide right now, in the next several years, whether we are going to be the republic that they set up or whether we're going to drift off into socialism and control by a few elites.
I'm going to ask you one last question here because we're running out of time. You give a lot of interviews. It's part of the job. What is the question that nobody asks you that you wish somebody would?
Well, the one that you asked, actually, the one about elections, because normally I have to go on and talk about a very specific issue that they want me to talk about. So if I'm going on Fox News, they don't give me they don't bring up this election. Sorry. It seems like it got diminished and put away from being talked about, and it was censored and you were attacked. I mean, me and my first assistant are potentially losing our bar license because we filed that lawsuit. The state bars come in and said, politically, we don't like what you did. So we're going to take away. So we're going to fight to keep our license. I don't regret it one bit. Cause if they can tell me what to file, then we don't have elections don't matter. So I have to fight this. But the question that you asked about elections and election integrity is the fundamental issue of the day. There's nothing more important. I don't care what people care about, the economy, abortion, anything. If you don't fix this, we don't have a republic and we are not free.
On that happy note, we're going to wrap it up. Attorney General Ken Paxton of Texas, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, but let me say, there's hope. I believe there's hope.
Thank you, sir.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.